Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 69, Jesus, the Sacrificial Lamb. Cheryl Jackson delivered this message in the Real Jesus of the Gospel series on April 7th, 2019.
Good morning, everyone, and I would like to say welcome to all of our guests, and praise the Lord, and I have a video to start out that what happened at the cross. Praise the Lord. That was just so powerful for me when I saw that. How Jesus, what he took upon his own self for us. Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you especially for your son, Jesus, that you gave for us. Now, Father, I yield myself to you, that my words would be your words, or your words would be my words, that you would use me. I'm here willing and obedient, being your vessel, that you would speak through me, that we would receive revelation knowledge, a greater revelation. We welcome you, Spirit of Revelation, to help us understand you, our Savior, Jesus, as our sacrificial lamb. We thank you, we praise you, we give glory and honor to you, Lord God. May every ear be able to hear what you have to say to them, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For God made the only one who did not know sin to become sin for us, so that we who did not know righteousness might become the righteousness of God in him." This was from the Passion Translation. I really like that. He did not know sin, and we did not know righteousness. So God made him sin for us. Our sins were transferred to Jesus. And we are the ones who should have suffered all those things he suffered there on that cross, all those things that he bore on his own self. We should have suffered guilt, shame, sickness, disease, condemnation, and anything else evil, wicked, negative, bad that we can think of. Jesus voluntarily did that, took it upon himself. And then he asked us to be forgiven. Because even though we saw those Roman soldiers and those people in that video, even though they are the ones that nailed him to that cross, it was our sin. Our sin separated us from God. And he had a plan. And his plan was Jesus. He loved us so much that he made Jesus our substitute. You know, and I was thinking about that substitute. Now, this is kind of off of this. It's a little funny. When you're in school, remember when you got the substitute? Y'all acted up. Yeah, that's when you're supposed to be on your best behavior. When the substitute comes, the substitute is here. But anyways, but that's not what Jesus did. Jesus became our substitute, took on himself all of those things for us so that we could be free. He died for us. God gave his only begotten son to die for us. And what he did at that cross appeased the wrath of God. It means God was no longer angry with us. His wrath was appeased through our Savior Jesus. And we don't have to suffer. We do not have to suffer those things that he did. And that's why the Bible tells us that we need to renew our minds with the Word of God and think the way he thinks, believe what the Word is saying, because we do not have to receive and believe and take what the world tells us. We don't have to receive the final report of the doctor or what we're seeing on the news and what, you know, all these things they're showing. I don't receive that. I even say it to the TV. It's like I'm talking to the TV, don't talk back. But I even say that. I don't receive that. We don't have to receive what the world says. When the doctor comes with that report, if it don't line up with the Word of God, it's like we don't have to receive that. That's not ours. That doesn't belong to us. Jesus bore those things for us. He took them on his own body for us that we don't have to receive it. It appeased God's wrath for us. He was a sacrificial lamb that God provided. You know, in the Old Testament, they did all those sacrifices with the lamb. And, you know, Friday we went over about the Passover in Exodus, how they took a lamb and they sacrificed that lamb and they had to put the blood on the doors. And then when the death angel came by, passed over. So we have the blood of Jesus on the doors and the lintels of our hearts. So death passes over. We've passed from death to life when we receive Jesus. When we've confessed him as our Lord and our Savior, believe that he's raised from the dead, he becomes our life. And we have life. He was perfect, without sin, spotless. He had no blemishes and no physical defects. But it also says he was comely. So he didn't really look like what people expected. Why were people drawn to Jesus? Said in the Bible, it said he wasn't good looking. He wasn't real tall. I know a lot of these movies, they depict him and he's this great looking guy. He looks good. But the Bible doesn't say that. So why were they drawn to him? And what I believe is his love. His love just emanated. And so people were drawn to him. And he had what people were looking for, you know. And a lot of times when people got to him after that, well, also they heard about him, but a lot of times I think when people got to him, their needs were met. When they got to him, their needs were met. Now, our Jesus, our sacrificial lamb, that, you know, in the Old Testament, they presented that lamb and did everything that the Lord wanted. God provided him for us. We didn't have to come up with a sacrifice to please God. That's exciting for me because I don't do lambs or goats or any of that stuff. So aren't we glad we're under that new covenant that we don't have to come up with anything? But God came up with that plan. He came up with it when Adam and Eve messed up in the garden. God said, I got a plan. I'm so grateful he had the plan. Okay. And so only Jesus, our sacrificial lamb, was and is perfectly pure, sinless, and worthy of redeeming the sins of a sinner. Only Jesus. He's the only one. Let's look at Isaiah 53, verse 6. Thank you, Jesus. It says, all we like sheep. Have you ever wondered why we're sheep? Why the Lord refers to us as sheep? I didn't like it at first when you read it, but people who raise sheep will tell you that sheep are dumb. And if one sheep runs this way, they'll follow. And if they all run off the cliff, they all run off the cliff. Right? So anyways, we're following Jesus. We're that kind of sheep. We're following him, and he ain't going off no cliff. So praise the Lord. But anyways, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord, has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. The Lord did that. See, we look, if you think about it, when I really first got saved, I looked at people like, look what you're doing, look what you're doing. You did this, you did this. No, the Lord laid the iniquity of us all on Jesus. He did it. Because that was his plan. He knew none of us could. None of us could purchase our salvation. None of us could make it right with God. So he came up with the plan, just like he provided Abraham with the sacrifice when he took Isaac up. God provided. He did it all. He actually, the first sacrifice was in the garden. Was when Adam and Eve sinned and he had to cover their nakedness. What did he do? He killed animals, covered them up. First sacrifice. So God provides. God provided them even though they sinned. He provided it, even though they did it. So even though we do the things we do, he provides for us. The Bible says he always provides a way of escape. He provides. And I'm, you know, even standing here talking to you, I'm looking at, oh, right. Oh my gosh, God provides, 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 provides. No matter what, he's the one that provides. And we, instead of us trying to think, oh, I got to do this, and 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 I got, we don't have to do this. That's why he told us to enter into his rest. He provides. He does it all. He sings over us. He dances over us. He rejoices over us. He delights in us. He provides. He's the one that does it. It's our God, and he provided us the sacrificial lamb. Jesus, I just, when I did these notes, you know how you write a sentence and you put he, I kept just putting Jesus, 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 you know. And so every time I, oh, Jesus is the most wonderful and praiseworthy sacrificial lamb in the world. Jesus is. And you know, sacrificial lamb, I looked it up. It said someone or something that is deliberately sacrificed to promote a cause or for benefit of others. Who can say what happened with Jesus was a benefit for us? What a benefit. We don't have to spend eternity separated from our Heavenly Father, from our Creator, from our God, the one who loves us. We don't have to spend, and you know, there's no darkness in him at all. So we get to spend forever in the light and with the one who has provided for us and provided the way for us to be with him. He was reconciling us to himself through Jesus. And that's awesome. Okay, it also says someone being blamed for the wrong done by another. Atonement for sin through the offering of a sacrifice. Jesus, our sacrificial lamb. Jesus, he did it. In Galatians 3:13, praise the Lord. I love this scripture. Hallelujah. It tells us Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse. Christ has redeemed us. He did it. And if you'll study and look at a lot of those things under the curse, they're in Deuteronomy. Okay. Those of you who haven't had children yet, labor pains, it's a curse. Start praying. Lord, I'm not going to be suffering that curse. I know somebody who did that. We prayed for her and she prayed and she believed. And when she went to the hospital, she said, I'm in labor. They said, no, you're not. She said, yes, I am. No, I'm not. No, you're not. Yes, I am. No, you're. Oh, yes, you are. Because the babies start coming. Because she believed God not to be under that curse, not to have those labor pains and to go through what they always say you have to do. Oh, this is going to happen to you. You know, we all who had kids already told, I was telling my, you know, not knowing this, yeah, this is what's going to happen, and this is going to happen, and you're going to this, and you're going to that, and it's like, oh, I found out you didn't have to. I didn't have to. You just don't have to. So those of you, you young ladies, don't have to believe that. Don't have to receive it. Start praying now. Start believing now. Yes, hallelujah. Let's start believing that now. Like, no. Okay, thank you, Jesus, for redeeming us from the curse of the law. There's so many things we don't have to receive. And you know what? Even though you don't feel it, even though those symptoms might come in your body, we still need to declare it and say it out of our mouth. I don't receive that. I don't receive that. I reject that. I don't believe that. I don't receive that. I believe what the word says. I believe what the word says. When I first got saved, the Lord spoke to me. When I was a baby, I was so glad for a lot of the things he said to me when I was a baby Christian. He said, Cheryl, I'm like, okay. If a person says to you what doesn't line up with the word, who's lying. If they're not saying about you what I'm saying about you, who is lying? I went, oh, okay. So when I was had zeal with no knowledge, very zealous, and people would say things to me, I would say, good thing you're not God or I'd be in trouble. Because that ain't what God said. I'm better now. Although sometimes I still say it. If you're not saying about me what God said, I don't receive it. Amen. You know, amen. Praise the Lord. We need to get bold with this. We do. The world gets bold with their stuff. We need to get bold with ours. Yeah, we do. We need to start. No, this is what the word says. I love Jesus. I believe in him. This is what he said. And so I believe what he said, not what you said. And of course, you're going to get some looks. I know you will. I do at work. When we're doing from Andrew Womack, and he said when he played basketball with these boys, they would use bad language. And then, so he would go, hallelujah. And they look at him, and so they play, and they'd say something, bad language again. He'd go, hallelujah. And they're like, what are you doing? He said, you praising your God, I'm praising mine. So, so praise the Lord. So God did that at work. He said foul language. I said, praise the Lord. He went, what? I said, well, you say, you praising your God, I'm praising mine. He goes, oh, well, glory. I said, hallelujah. And the girl who works in the back with the freight goes, what just happened here? I just kept on working. So that's wonderful. We need to be bold with it. We can't be ashamed of the gospel. He said if we're ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of us. And so we're not ashamed of the gospel. We're not. We are children of God, the creator of the universe. He's more real than anything else. So thank you, Jesus. Amen. And so because of Jesus, we escaped God's punishment for sin. We escaped that. That is so awesome. Hebrews 9:11. We escaped. Thank you, Jesus. It says, but Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, supernatural. He is our high priest. Hallelujah. Came with the greater and perfect tabernacle, his tabernacle, his body, because we are the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit. Okay, his tabernacle is perfect. And one day, hallelujah, ours is going to be perfect too. We getting out of here. Amen. 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 Talk to me about rapture and you can see some excitement. Amen. We get to get out of here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The animal sacrifices under the old covenant were foreshadow and symbols of our real sacrificial lamb, Jesus. He was our real sacrifice. That was just a foreshadow that those in the Old Testament and under the law, under the old covenant, had to do with animals. They had to do with the animals. They had to bring those sacrifices without spot, without blemish. They had to be perfect to bring to the Father. But they had to do that over and over and over and over. But our sacrificial lamb, hallelujah, only did it once. That is awesome. He only had to do it one time. One time. Okay? Our sacrificial lamb. And John 1:29 testifies to us about who Jesus is. It says, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Takes it away. He came and he says, behold, John said it with, mine has an exclamation mark. That means, behold. Want everybody to hear it. The Lamb of God, our sacrificial lamb, who takes away the sin of the world, was Jesus. Only Jesus, who is perfectly pure, holy, eternal, and without blemish, was and is, right now, he is, because our God is alive. He's not dead, he's not Buddha, and all those others. He's alive. He's capable of removing the sins of man and fully satisfying the requirements of the law. He did it for us because they kept having to do over and over and over and over. You know, I was studying about, because I met a Jewish guy at my job. So I started studying the mitzvahs. And you know, in the Bible, it tells you about the Ten Commandments. Well, they added about 600 more. There's like 613 mitzvahs. That's what they call them. That they follow. I'm like, well, that's a lot. How are they going to even get them all done? 613, they couldn't even do the 10. Like, so Jesus came and fulfilled all that for us. He fulfilled it all. And there are two scriptures in the Word, which I can't recall where they are, but they're in there. Okay, that says, the two greatest commandments, love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all that is within you, and love your neighbor as yourself. The first one takes care of the first five, and the second one takes care of the last five. If you do that, you're doing those Ten Commandments. So if you do that, because those first five takes care of that. So praise the Lord. So, but in Jesus, we don't have to deal with those mitzvahs. And the reason I looked that up is because this Jewish guy wanted to know when I brought cupcakes, did you cook pork in that? I was like, yeah, I always cook pork in my cupcake pan. Because he didn't want to eat it. He didn't want to even if it touched it. He did not want to eat a cupcake, even if it touched it. And so I was like, okay, well, if you don't want to, but he'd go out and smoke. I said, okay, why don't you want to do this, but you'll do that? Because it don't say that in the mitzvahs, that you can't smoke. Isn't that something? But it messes with your body. But anyways, well, praise the Lord. It was just kind of funny to me that, you know, that's okay, but that's not okay. So thank you, Jesus. He was tortured, Jesus. He was crucified, he died. And he rose from the dead to ascend to heaven to present his blood to the Father on our behalf. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. That's in Hebrews 9:22. Yes. It says, and according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, which means no redemption, no salvation, no deliverance from sin or saving from evil if there is no remission. So that blood Jesus shed for us brought us all of those things: redemption, salvation, deliverance from sin, saving from evil. It exempts us from the consequences of the offense. We all offended God, all of us. Even though people think, oh, I'm good. No, you offended God. We all of us offended the Lord. But because of Jesus's blood that he shed and presented to the Father at the Holy of Holies in heaven, we are exempted. Hallelujah. He rescued us with his shed blood, keeping us from being separated from the Father. So now we have access to him. We can have an intimate, one-on-one relationship with the Father. We can be intimate with him, and he wants to be intimate with us. We can have that relationship. Jesus did that for us. Our sacrificial lamb. We don't have to spend eternity in darkness because of Jesus, our sacrificial lamb. Jesus brought us into right relationship with the Father. He endured cruel scourging and relentless abuse before being nailed to the cross. He suffered the most painful and humiliating death in the history of mankind. The Bible says he was marred more than any man. That's in Isaiah 52, verse 14. And I'm reading it out of the Amplified. It says, "For many the servant of God became an object of horror. Many were astonished at him. His face and his whole appearance were marred more than any man's, and his form beyond that of the sons of man." And marred, in the definitions I could find, said, impaired the appearance, disfigured, spoiled perfection. Ruin or diminish the perfection or wholeness of. Serious bodily harm inflicted, destroyed, deformed, defaced, mangled, mutilated, injured. Our Jesus, they said, when he hung on that cross, they could not even tell he was a man. What we saw here, and even on the Passion of the Christ, I mean, it took me a few years before I could even keep my eyes open to watch them scourge Jesus, even on the Passion of the Christ. Took me a long time. I forced myself to keep my eyes open to watch what they did. And they said that doesn't even compare to what they really did to him. Because on there, I believe they said they pulled the scene out that he had in there. Because in the Bible, it says they pulled out his beard. They pulled his beard out. And that they beat him so badly that he didn't even look like a man hanging on that cross. That's how much that he took for us. He did that for us. Our sacrificial lamb. He did that for us. We deserve the judgment for our sins. But because of Jesus, we don't have to. We don't have to be afraid of the judgment because we won't be judged. All of our sins, sicknesses, diseases, weaknesses were judged at the cross on our Lord Jesus, on our sacrificial lamb. He took them. So the judgment is done. He did it. He did it. We don't have to feel condemnation. We don't have to feel guilt, shame, any of those things. Because Jesus took them. He has them. Our sins are forgiven and washed away. Like the song said, we're washed, cleansed, sanctified, all because of Jesus. We are no longer under judgment. We are under the grace and mercy of God. And Jesus' final words on the cross, "It is finished," means it was completed. It was done. The salvation plan for all mankind had been accomplished when Jesus died on that cross. It was taken care of. All our debts for sin have been fully repaid. All of them. All of them. All means all. I've heard other pastors say, "What does all mean?" All means all. Well, what about this? No, all. He did it all. He removed the curse of the law. He delivered us from eternal punishment of hell. He did it, Jesus. Okay? And our salvation includes help in distress, rescue, deliverance, freedom. And this is one that a lot of times people, even our brothers and sisters in the Lord, don't talk about. Health, well-being, and healing. That's all included in salvation. Not just, okay, we don't have to go to hell now. Yay. No! We get that all here right now. While we're here, we get all of that, and then rapture. Yay! Praise the Lord. But we have to receive it. We have to hang on. It's ours. You have to you need to know in your heart, it's mine. This is mine. Health is mine. Well-being is mine. Wholeness is mine. It's mine, mine, mine. You know, little kids like, mine, 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 mine. We need to be like that. When you were little, you're like, that's mine, that's mine, that's mine. We need to do that. It's mine, it's mine, it's mine. It is. Jesus said, it's yours. It belongs to you. That is ours. Well-being, healing, freedom from what binds and restricts. What do you need freedom from? It's yours. It belongs to us. And the Greek word for salvation is soteria, meaning to provide recovery. It's mine. To rescue. It's mine. To affect one's welfare. It's mine. It's yours. It belongs to you. You're his children. He loves you. It says healing is the children's bread. Okay? Okay, God, thank you for my daily bread. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we thank you, Lord. It says the work of God whereby he transforms a soul from the grips of condemnation or eternal wrath to one of eternal life. That is what our sacrificial lamb, Jesus, did for us. He is so awesome. I love him so much. So glad that I received him into my life. And so now we're going to take a short break. There's a scripture in your bulletin about what John proclaimed about our Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God who comes and takes away the sins of the world. If you want to get into small groups and just thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We will not die. We will live. We will declare the works of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, the name that's above every name. Praise you, Jesus. You may be seated. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, our sacrificial lamb. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Whew, thank you, Jesus. The gracious work of God, whereby he delivers undeserving sinners, us, from sin and its results, bringing them into the right vital relationship with himself, and bestows on them the riches of his grace. Salvation, our sacrificial lamb, saved us and provided all of that for us. Jesus is so good. And he is just so good. He is so good. So very good. Thank you, Jesus. Years ago, I have a menagerie of songs, and I've asked the Lord, could you just start giving me those songs again? Because sometimes I'll sit and listen to a message, and then the Lord will give me a song to sing or blah, 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 whatever. Anyways, I shouldn't say blah, blah, blah. He doesn't give me blah, blah, blah. Anyways, amen. But he gives me songs, and one of them was called Do You Know the Master? And I was like, oh, that's really good. It goes with the salvation plan. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm going to sing just a little bit of it for you. And it goes, do you know the master? Do you know the master plan? From the glory of heaven, he became a simple man. He brought salvation to a dying land, reconciliation to the fallen man. Do you know the master? Do you know the master plan? The Son of God, he is the Son of Man. Holy One of
of Israel, he is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Creator of all things. Let us exalt the name of Jesus. Lift him up. Let's magnify his name. Let us exalt the name of Jesus and his love. Let us proclaim.
Then it starts over. Praise the Lord. So I thank the Lord. I'm asking him to do that again for me, for, you know, those songs. And I just thank the Lord. A young man, I wanted him to put music to it. He said, my sister was doing it, and he said, y'all put too much Jesus in y'all songs. I was like, well, praise God. I'm glad for that, because that's who it's about. It's Jesus. Hallelujah. So I hope and pray. I pray for the revelation about Jesus, our sacrificial lamb, being in our hearts and realizing, because in our group, John was saying, there is nothing that can depict what happened to our Lord. There's nothing anywhere that can show what really, really happened to him and what he really endured and bore for us. And I just believe at this, you know, these, you know, Resurrection Sundays coming, that we need to meditate on him and what he really went through for us. And maybe ask the Lord, the Holy Spirit, what can you, I don't know if my heart can deal with it, but will you help me to know? Just give me, I don't know if I can get a picture, because I couldn't even watch the Passion of the Christ, let alone let it be. But just to know, and you know, that revelation in our hearts, what he really, really, really did and what he endured for us in the name of Jesus. So now, it's been good. Should I say gooder time? No. The time has come for us to minister to one another in prayer. Jesus is here, because when we gather in his name, two or three, he's here in the midst. And I believe whenever he's here, good things happen. And so he wants good things to happen for us, for all of us, and for anybody who's come with a need or just wants prayer, just wants encouragement. We want to be here for you. We are a family, and we love to love on you. So anyone who is needing a prayer, may come up, along with anybody who wants to help.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House Podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.